Our gospel reading this evening comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and it can be found on page 58 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and had seen, which were just as they had been told. I, like most of you, have sat in pews at this or in other churches and listened to many different Christmas messages through the years. Some have been great, and some maybe not so great. So I got to thinking, maybe I should steer away from those ones that I didn't think were so great. And when I got to thinking which ones I really liked the most, one type of sermon kept coming back to me: the short ones. Okay. So that's how I'm going to try to keep it tonight. The music we've had, the kids, you know, just the feeling of Christmas Eve. They're the true message. You know, we don't need a half-hour sermon. So let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that the birth of your loving Son is the reason for the season and the real message. I ask that the words you speak through me tonight will have real meaning and will glorify your holy name. Amen. You know, Christmas means different things to different people. We all have our own way of celebrating. Some are more spiritual, while others are more secular. Some like to decorate ornately, while others are happy with a tree and a candle in the window. Some, like my dear wife down here, love to shop and give lots of gifts, while others are content with small gift exchanges. Some like to give and attend parties, Well, others feel more comfortable at home with a few loved ones. So while we all have different ideas about the perfect holiday, I think there is one thing that we can all agree on, and that is that the Christmas season is filled with tradition. Now, we all have our own Christmas traditions, some good, some maybe not so good. We have family traditions. We have church traditions. We have traditions with friends and, oh, maybe even traditions at work. And these traditions can give us wonderful memories of past Christmases and create excitement and joy for present and future holidays. Well, the Graham family, we have our traditions. But there is one tradition that is shared by only me. My own personal tradition is that not a Christmas season goes by without me watching It's a Wonderful Life at least once. Anybody else love that movie? Yeah, all right. My mother-in-law, Annie, and her few years has never seen this movie until today when we watched it this afternoon. It was good, wasn't it, Annie? Okay. You know, it's a great holiday classic starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Now, you used to be able to catch it a couple times a day on different cable stations. But then NBC bought up the rights, and now they show it one time a year. Bah, humbug. Well, when they did that, old George, he bought a DVD. And now I have it in color and black and white. We watched black and white today, didn't we, Annie? Yep. Okay. I have a sign over my door at work that says, It's a Wonderful Life. And Mary Beth and I, along with Dave and Myra, this fall we visited Seneca Falls, New York, which is the town Bedford Falls was based on. So I guess you could say I'm a big fan. Now, the movie has a simple but a great plot. Our hero, if you don't want to know, if you've never seen it, don't listen to this. I'm going to tell you about the movie. Okay. Our hero is George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart. Now, George was a caring, giving person who was always doing for others. As a youth, he saved his younger brother Harry from drowning when Harry fell through the ice. And Harry later went on to be a hero in World War II, saving hundreds of sailors when he shot down a Japanese kamikaze pilot. And as a teenager, George saved the distraught village druggist, Mr. Gower, from dispensing a prescription filled with poison, thereby saving an innocent person's life. When George's father died, George gave up his own plans to travel the world, to take over the Bailey Building and Loan, and made it possible for hundreds of families in Bedford Falls to have affordable housing. And George was the only person in town who would stand up to the film villain, Mr. Potter, and keep him from gaining control of the whole town. Well, unfortunately, on Christmas Eve, 1945, George's senile Uncle Billy lost the bank deposit for the building and loan, and it looked like George was headed to prison for embezzlement. So he asked God for help, and God sent help in the form of an angel named Clarence. Well, poor George, I mean, he's all distraught, and he tells Clarence that the world would be better if he had never been born. So Clarence, he gives George his wish, then shows him how the world, and Bedford Falls in particular, would have been had there been no George Bailey. Brother Harry, he would have drowned and would not have been around to save all those sailors. Mr. Gower would have turned into a hopeless drunk, and the person taking the prescription would have died. The Bailey Building alone would have gone bankrupt, and those hundreds of people would be without homes. And Mr. Potter would have taken over the town completely and turned it into a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And George's wife, Mary, would have become an old spinstress and they would have had no family. But the movie does have a happy ending when Clarence the Angel brings George back to his real life and all the people of Bedford Falls repay George for his wonderful life by donating money to save the building and loan and keeping George out of jail. So I guess you could say the moral of the movie is that one person can make a huge difference in our world. So this got me to thinking about how our world would be if not for Christ. Where would we be if Jesus had never been born and there was no Christmas? Kind of a scary thought, isn't it? You know, we take Jesus for granted because he's always been a part of our lives. But where would we be and where would the world be without him? Where would we be if Jesus hadn't been born on that night so long ago in Bethlehem? Well, if Jesus hadn't been born, we wouldn't be here tonight. Oh, groups of us, we might be meeting socially at a bar or a club or something. But we wouldn't be meeting as a congregation that is full of the excitement and anticipation we experience on Christmas Eve. There'd be no reason to meet because we'd have nothing to celebrate. And if Jesus hadn't been born, this beautiful church, it wouldn't be here shining its lights into the night, proclaiming our joy, our excitement, and God's love. Now, I'm sure there'd be some kind of building on this corner. Maybe a Rutter's trying to compete with Sheets down the street. Or, heaven forbid, maybe another pizza shop, just what we need. But there would be no need for this or any other church. Churches are places of worship. But who would we have to worship? Of course, we'd still have the stadiums and arenas where we could spend our time worshiping athletes, singers, and other entertainers. But what would we take with us when we leave those places? Would they provide us with lasting joy and hope? And speaking of hope, if Jesus hadn't been born, we'd have no hope of salvation for mankind. There'd be no Christianity, no Christians, no churches, no ministers, no sermons, no Christian events or services, no divine peace or joy to experience, no Bible or Christian literature to guide us, and most importantly, no forgiveness of our sins or the chance to spend eternal life in paradise with God. And if Jesus hadn't been born, there'd be no Christian organizations involved in social work. There'd be no Christian hospitals or schools, no Christian orphan homes, no Christian outreach to feed the hungry. We wouldn't have Mission Central to help provide relief to victims of natural disasters. And if Jesus hadn't been born, where would we be politically in this world? I mean, you have to admit, we're in pretty bad shape in the world and our country right now. But think what it'd be like without some type of Christian influence. And if Jesus hadn't been born, we'd never truly know our Heavenly Father. We'd see him through shadows, veils, and smoke. And we'd hear him through earthquakes and thunder, like the folks did back in the Old Testament. And we'd fear him rather than experience his love. And our access to him, well, it would be limited to going through the leaders and the chief priests as they did back in those days, instead of having the personal contact with God that we each enjoy today. And if Jesus hadn't been born, there would be no gospel. Well, we'd have a Bible, but it would end with the book of Malachi. There would be no New Testament, and the blueprint for how to live our lives would be missing. There'd be no good news of the birth of our Savior, no water of life for the spiritual thirsty, no bread of life for the hungry, no joy and no hope. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda, he would have stayed paralyzed on that mat for the rest of his life. The man with leprosy would have never been cleansed. Bartimaeus, he would have remained blind. And the woman caught in adultery, well, she would have been stoned to death without Jesus. And the repentant thief on the cross at Calvary beside Jesus would have been condemned to a lifetime in hell had Jesus not been born. And not only would we have no Christmas, we'd also have no wonderful Easter story. Christ, he would not have died on the cross to save each of us from our sins. And he would not have risen from the dead 3 days later to show us the way to eternal life in heaven with our Father. You know, these are just some of the things that would be missing from our lives had Jesus Christ not been born. But just as George Bailey had his angel Clarence, we have a loving God who has shown us the way. Because a baby was born in the manger on that night in Bethlehem so long ago, and he truly was the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, and the Savior sent to save each of us from our lives of sin. And because that child was born, we do have a reason to celebrate tonight. Because that child was born, we live in a world that is full of hope, full of wonder, and full of joy. Because that child was born, we live in a world where we can love him and love each other. And because that child was born, each of us can be born again. We can commit our lives to him, experience his love, and have eternal life with our Heavenly Father. That wonderful baby boy born in the manger that night in Bethlehem was God's gift to each and every one of us on that first Christmas so many years ago. Amen, and Merry Christmas.